Amen. We're going to be in two places for our Thanksgiving sermon. We're going to be in Psalm 100, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. So you can mark those places right now. But it is hard to believe that it's Thanksgiving, isn't it? I mean, we're so focused on Christmas that it's almost like we're forgetting Thanksgiving. And actually, Thanksgiving, if I'm not mistaken, is late coming this year, isn't it? It's normally earlier, it seems like to me. So here we are, the holiday season's now arrived. Every year I bring forth a Thanksgiving message and so forth. And 31 days till Christmas, 37 days till 2020. And this is the first time in my life as a Christian I have not yet prayed for the word for 2020. I'm almost afraid to do that, if you know what I mean. So, but I know that the Lord will speak to me. So 2019, here we are. The whirlwind is coming. The harvest is right. Prepare, and we have. Boy, are we nearly there, just a few days away. You know, I know that many of you are traveling, and so the Lord bless you. I can see that many are out. They're already probably leaving. If you're not here this Wednesday night, I want you to know I love you. I pray you have a Christ-centered Thanksgiving. Amen? So with all that being said, I thank the Lord for so many things this year. And just a few of them. For example, I was thinking and looking in my journal of the marriages that have been restored that didn't lead to divorce just in 2019 in this church. I am so thanking God for that. The people who have been saved this year are the prodigals that have returned unto the Lord. But look all that God has done just this year, and he has kept us so busy. For example, the Cross Courtyard, all the things that we've done out there. We've had marriages, baptisms. We've even had people go out there and propose to ask people to marry them. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing how we saw on some film not too long ago how people just showed up in the middle of the night. I don't know if they were fighting. It was a lady and a man. And there they were. They were walking around the cross. They were there from 2 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock that morning. And you know what? God was touching them. They were there at the cross. They wanted God to do something for them. Amen? And I'm sure that he did. So all the things that are happening, Haltom Christian School, this year, over and over, the mission team, all the homes and the orphanages, the things that are happening, and now the barn, junior high, senior high, man, and the people that have helped with the candy cane outreach, unbelievable. All over America they have been given. We even have people that I hope they are, they're flying in from Maine because they want to be a part of this outreach. Can you believe that? From Maine? Is that in America? And you know what's really wonderful? One of the radio stations that I'm on there, the Austin, Waco, all the way down to South Texas. You know what they did? I mean, it was so unbelievable. I was supposed to go and have an interview, remember? But I had to cancel that. And we just received a beautiful letter from them, and they said, we want to be a part of what Calvary Fort Worth is doing. We want to be a part of the Candy Cane Christmas, and they mailed us a check for $1,500. Can you believe that? I mean, come on. Oh, man. Listen, they didn't have to do that. See, God moving on people everywhere for what we're doing. Amen? Oh, the Bible tells us in Psalm 90, verse 70, let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. And he is his beauty. Listen carefully. And establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, oh God, establish the work of our hands. That is exactly what the Lord has done. Are you at Psalm 100? As you look at this, this is a thanksgiving psalm, and it's only to God. It's not to anyone else, only to the Lord. I read in my Jewish encyclopedia about this psalm. Let me read it to you. The Jewish encyclopedia says that there's no language that has as many words for joy, rejoicing, thanksgiving, and so forth as does Hebrew. The Jew, it says in my encyclopedia, the Jew regarded the act of giving thanks to God as the supreme joy of his life. And this psalm unto God on this Thanksgiving sermon day as we enter into the holiday season, it starts out by saying, make a joyful what? Shout. And look at the object of our shouting and our praising. It says, to the Lord, all you lands, not just Israel, but to everyone on earth, every people group on earth. But something is sad to me in this verse because the word make is a verb and the word make is also a command. Isn't it sad that God, who loves us and sent his Son to die for us, has to command us to worship him and express our gratitude audibly, publicly, privately. That's heartbreaking to me. I look and I say, oh God, you're so good to us. We should be praising you in the morning to the evening till the moment we go to bed. Amen? He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, meaning singing with thankful hearts. Let me ask you a question. And I'm not provoke. I love you, but I'm going to provoke you just for a moment. Did you really enter in? Was the worship just routine for you this morning? I'm not saying it was, but I'm asking you a question. Was it just, okay, here we're going to do the four songs that we always do, maybe, and da 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 da, which, wonderful service, by the way. Was it routine? Was your mind way over someplace else? Was it on maybe your problems or your hurts? And I can understand that. Or maybe the burden that you might be carrying. I understand that as well. But we've entered in to worship the Lord who deserves our worship. Eh? You know what I'm saying? Don't ever let that be routine. You know what I'd like to see one time before I leave this pulpit? And that would be to see this church, everyone that comes in here to worship the Lord, everyone is lifting their hands in submission to the great God that we serve. Not because, oh, I'm a Pentecostal. There's nothing wrong with being a Pentecostal. But that's not what that means. That's why I'm charismatic. That's not charismatic. That is a command of the Lord. Lift your hands. Lift holy hands up to the Lord. It's a worship him where you only think about and think of him only. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. And that's exactly what a thankful heart does. It serves the Lord with gladness. And when you do that, serving, stepping out, serving the Lord, that's when the adventure with Jesus begins. You should hear of the adventure that the ladies who went shopping for all the gifts this week, what happened in the department stores, how people were coming up to them. Some people even were coming up to them, giving them money to help with what we're doing. Yes. There was a homeless man that came up behind Heather, and it's because we have a pile of coats, this, you know, and the carts, and, you know, shoes are falling off them, you know. And this guy comes up and he says, what are you doing? We explained the candy cane Christmas outreach to single moms, grandparents, you know, and so forth. And the guy looked at her and said, I was homeless last year, but God saved me. He said, I don't have any money. I'm a janitor now in a school. He says, but I have $10. Would you put this toward what you're doing? You see, see how God is honoring all that we do? We had people that live in the street, Diamond Oaks Drive, Candy Cane Lane. That's what it used to be. They came. We were working out at the cross area, putting in the candy canes. And I looked over and I said, Mr. Renfro, is that you? And he came and I wanted to see how we're making this cross because I'm getting people to make the crosses in this area and Patrick goes and helps him put it together and all that. People are getting involved. God is moving. Amen. And I think, oh Lord, you're so good. When we serve the Lord, that's when the adventure begins. Do you serve the Lord? I mean, do you serve him with gladness? That word gladness means a joyful abandon to the Lord. I just love serving you. You know, I pray that you serve the Lord with gladness. Here we are, you know, we're not hurting. You know, some of us leave our new home. Some of us leave our old home. Some of us drive to Calvary Chapel in our new cars. Some of us drive to Calvary Chapel in our old cars. But at least we have a car. Amen. We come and we sit down in the cafe and we drink free coffee. Never, if it was ever any... If you had a donation thing, it would scare you to death. You sit down in comfortable chairs. The room is all heated. You drink your free coffee, maybe sometimes even free pastries. And then you go, I have to go serve in nursery. Woe is me. Do you serve the Lord with gladness? We're talking about giving thanks unto the Lord, loved one. Oh, listen, let us serve the Lord with joy. Because we live in a world that is unprepared for what is coming. Did you know that there's going to be a shaking that you cannot even imagine? The Bible teaches us in Hebrews 12:28, therefore we're receiving a kingdom. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace, or literally grace means let us be thankful. Let us give thanks unto the Lord, by which we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's how we serve God, with gladness. We're part of an unshakable kingdom that is on its way. Amen. That's going to be a glorious day. Verse 3, it says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Aren't you glad we have the good shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, the chief shepherd? One day He's coming for us. Thank God for that. Listen, it says He is God, and I'm not, and you're not. Amen? It says He is God. I'm a human being. It says know that. That word know in Hebrews, yada, it means, it's like when Adam, where it says Adam knew his wife, Eve, knew yada. That's a deep intimacy, and it's an experiential intimacy. He says, oh. No, it says, know that the Lord, He is God. It says His people. I love that. His people. And you know, it says, we're not of ourselves. We are His people. You're not your own. We're bought at a price, the precious blood of Jesus. Paul says, then glorify your God in your body and in your spirit. And I love this part. We are the sheep of His pastures. His pasture. We don't own them, do we? No, it's His pasture. We're His sheep. Oh, man, listen, we're talking about God's possessions, His possessions. And this is the way you need to look at life, loved one. We live and eat and graze, if we're sheep, we can use that word graze, amen, on His land, His property. It's not our property. It's not our property at all. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein. The Lord owns the cattle and the gold, the silver on the thousand hills. Amen? This is His earth. Man, listen, you know what? We build homes, put in a swimming pool, playground, put a swing set in, and God could evict you at any time. It's His. You see, we have a problem in America with that. I'm telling you, God owns absolutely everything and everyone. Amen? That's a biblical worldview, loved one. That's a biblical mindset. He made us. We were twice born. So we were born the natural way, and then we were born the new creation, the supernatural way. Man, I said, God, You're so good. Are you thankful that you were born? I mean, you know, He could have said, no, I don't want that one. He wouldn't have done. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, are you thankful that you have experienced life? Sunrise, sunset. I mean, He made you. You have life. If you would have never had that, you would have never known what love was. You'd have never had the emotion of love. You would have never had to raise crummy teenagers. Think about that for a minute. You know I'm teasing. I've seen if you're listening. No, I think about all the good things that God has done. I mean, I give thanks. It says you were made. I was made by God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship. It says, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before the foundation of the world that we should walk in them. Man, what a glorious thing to know that. You know, it says, He is God. Can I tell you that God can demand anything He wants? Because He is God. He can say, I want your home. His home. Do you know that everything you have belongs to Him? Do you know that everything in your bank account belongs to Him? No, do you really know that? Everything we have, even the breath, I mean, just our breath belongs to Him. He's the one who gives breath to everything. Listen, I don't know if you feel this way or not about Thanksgiving to God, but we're eating His food. He provides it. Amen? We're drinking His water. We're breathing His air. Why? He owns it all. All of it. Isn't God? Oh, loved one, listen, why does God ask of the sheep of His pasture? What does He ask of us? Look at the next verse. Here it comes, verse 4. Here's what God asks of us. Enter into not our gates, His gates with thanksgiving. And enter into His courts. How? With praise. Be what? What's that word? Be thankful to Him. And there's something else it says to do. Bless His name. Did you see that? His gates, His courts, His name. What does God ask us? He says, those are the things I ask you to do. You know, listen, to bless His holy name. Do you know that Calvary Chapel, this campus, all that God has done, it doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. He's the one that has built it, provided everything for it. And this morning, you entered in through His gates. You are now sitting in His courts that belong to Him. It says, be thankful to Him. That should break our hearts again, because you know why? It's a command. We shouldn't even have to. Those that are born again, listen, I look at that and say, Lord, just praising You, blessing You, loving You, being thankful should be as natural to the believer as just simply breathing air. Amen? It should be. I say, Lord, You're so very good. How did You enter His doors this morning when You sat in His seats this morning? And I am preaching, teaching from His pulpit. He is the shepherd of the church, not me. Amen? Do you understand? Yeah, I'm just an under-shepherd. You know, He's the chief shepherd. No, I look and say, Lord, man, I tell you, I am so thankful for all that You're doing. You can only thank God today. You can't thank Him. You can't thank Him yesterday. That's gone. You can't thank Him tomorrow. It's not here yet. You can only thank the Lord today. Right this minute, all day long, give thanks to Him. It's easy to do so. It really, really is to have a thankful heart. We live in a thankless, suffering world. We live in a very sad world, loved one, to be honest with you. I read just yesterday, I heard it on the news, and I'm probably going to get it a little wrong, but that's the way it usually works for me when I hear things on the news, because you don't know if it's fake news or not. So here, Chick-fil-A, that's a Christian fast food. Number one fast food in the world, or America, I mean. I've never eaten a Chick-fil-A. But I'm going to experience that, because people say there's scriptures on the cups, and I don't know, whatever. And it's a Christian-owned. And so there they are. Remember what happened, 2 days ago? They're in line in their cars and their trucks and everything. And so this car cuts over in front of this other car in line to get the chicken or whatever it is. He pulls out a gun and starts shooting him. Yeah. We live in a crazy world. I mean, you're going to shoot somebody in the Chick-fil-A fast food line? What kind of world is this? Listen, it says in Hebrews 13:14, we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of our lips. Here it comes. Giving thanks to His name. It says that we should bless His name. He's the God of all mercies. He's the God of all comfort. He is the God of all hope. He is the God of all peace. He is our God. Amen. To bless His name. There's over 80 Old Testament names for God. Think about that. All the provision that He has provided for us. And here's why we should be thankful. You ready for this? It says, for God is what? Okay, four of you are following me this morning. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Man, listen. Oh, bless the Lord. I tell you what, I am thankful for God is good. My entire, all the years in the ministry, I have opened every service with God is good. And I have closed every service singing the song, you know, God is good to me. Because see, God really is good. He really is good to you. He is so good to me. Oh, loved one, listen, do you know that God is good? That can only be said of God alone and no one else. That can only be said of God. He alone does good. All that God does, everything that he does is good. Acts 10:38, Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Man, I can see why we should bless his name, because God is good. The Bible says in Psalm 119:68, oh God, you are good, you do good. Psalm 51:1 or 52:1, the goodness of God endures continually. In other words, forever and ever, God is good. That's who he is. Man, I can give thanks to that. He's never been bad to me. Not never. Jesus has never hurt me. The Holy Spirit has never hurt me. Do you understand? Everything that God does, how can we not give him thanks, is good. It says in Psalm 107, verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his goodness. It says that his mercy is everlasting. Literally, his love. God is love. His love is eternal, if you will. And I say, oh, God. You know, God puts up with us sheep, doesn't he? Would you just think about that for a minute? Talking about God's mercy, how much we need God's mercy. I mean, did you complain on the way here? I mean, I'm not saying you did, but you know what I mean. Come on. You know, the sheep, you know, there's a lot of sheep. Some of them just take. They never give. There's a lot of sheep that just, they don't serve. They don't want to serve. They want to be served, and they never do it with gladness. There are sheep that enter his house with thankful hearts. There's sheep that enter into the house of the Lord with unthankful hearts. And you know what God does? He's the God of all mercy. And we better be glad that he's the God of all mercy. Amen? Yes, not only that, his truth endures to all generations. And we are a generation. His truth, loved one, it's not man's truth, it's his truth. Jesus is the truth. My life scripture, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." God's word is eternal. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. Never. I tell you what, the world will pass away, and it is passing away right now. It's all melting down, loved one. But the word of God is eternal. It never, ever changes. And everything I know in my life changes. And if you don't believe that you're changing, just go look in the mirror tomorrow. You are changing. I am changing. It seems like everything that I see in this church, it just seems like the other day I see kids running through here. The next thing I know, they're getting married and having children. Man, isn't that amazing? But it goes so quickly, loved one. It says, enter. Look back at verse 4. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and with his courts, there it is, those words, his gates, his courts, with praise. Be thankful to him. And bless his name. Do you believe that the creator of all things, the owner of all things, the sustainer of all things, do you think that God needs our praise? God needs our thanks? I mean, does God have an ego problem? No. But we do. You see, praise and thankfulness benefits us, you, not God. Amen? See, did you know God is thankful? His goodness doesn't change. His thankfulness doesn't change. His love doesn't change. No, man, to praise the Lord, to give thanks unto God, that is for us. It builds us up. It's for us. And so many times we forget all the good things that God is doing for us in the midst of the bad things that are happening in our life. He turns those bad things into good things. No weapon formed against you will ever prosper. Amen. You remember what happened to the children of Israel? They forgot God. They forgot to give thanks unto God. It says in Deuteronomy, when God warned Israel through Moses, it says in Deuteronomy 8:10, he says, when you have eaten and you're full, then you shall bless, that word means, then you shall give thanks to the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. Beware now that you do not forget your God, by not keeping his commandments, by not keeping his judgments, by not keeping the statutes which I command you today, lest when you have eaten, when you are full and you've built beautiful homes to dwell in, and all that you have is multiplied, and your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord. You forget the Lord God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the land of bondage. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I love to be comfortable, and I love to be content, but there's a great danger in being too comfortable and too content. Amen? Because it tends to make the children of Israel, the children of God in the new covenant, it can make us forget the good things that God is doing for us. Listen, I would say, for the most part, I think it's evident that most of us are full. Amen? Okay, we are, for the most part. You know, the problem is how horrible to be full but unsatisfied in our life. Full, everything we have, and yet we are unsatisfied. You know what? Why that happens? Because the world makes people hungry. Because the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and so forth, that's what the world offers the believer. We don't love the world, amen? If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. No, we don't love this world. We're not of this world. We're citizens of heaven. No, listen, the world can make you so hungry, but it makes you hungry for the wrong things. No different than the children of Israel when they were being led by the pillar of fire by night, cloud by day. And they, what did they, remember how they started complaining? And they go, oh, you brought us out here to die. What a, you're a bunch of sissies, you know what? You brought us out. Look, you, oh, I wish the fish and the melons and, oh, the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Oh, Lord, the flesh pots of Egypt. All we have is this. Despised the provision of God. They despised the goodness of God. Why? They forgot God. Oh, loved one, listen. The world, man, will never satisfy us. You know, we should be thankful for our provision. Amen? All that we have. Verse 14 says again, it talks about, don't you forget the Lord God who brought you out of the bondage, out of Egypt, out of slavery. If we could say the same thing about us. Don't forget your history. God, has God saved us? Yes. Has God redeemed us? Yes. Has God blessed us? Absolutely, loved one. Man, listen, did God bring us out of slavery through Christ Jesus our Lord? Yes. Have you forgotten that? Not that you have, but have you? Oh, listen, I tell you, I am thankful. Full but unsatisfied is such a picture of many today. I was listening to the other evening at one of our local TV stations. I think it was Channel 8, but I'm probably wrong because I don't know the numbers anymore. But anyway, they did a survey. You know how they call in to say, are the Cowboys going to win the Super Bowl? And 58% say yes, and the others say no. And y'all know what I'm talking about? Come on, man. Give me a break this morning. You know what? I need your help. And so they were doing this. It was this. People's true feelings about Thanksgiving. It was concerning the family. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Did you hear, and the survey said this, grown children, grown adults, would rather celebrate Thanksgiving with their friends than their family. Isn't that amazing? And not only that, well, now I can understand if Uncle Joe, never mind, but no, and here's what blew me away was the teens. Teenagers would rather celebrate Thanksgiving, not at home, but away from home with their friends instead of being with their family. I wonder if that is not a picture of the last days, because we know that in 2 Timothy 3:1, Paul tells us that perilous times, it says, know this, that perilous times will come, savage times, dangerous times, fierce times. That's what that word means, savage. And he's not talking about floods, remember, and or viruses and bubonic plague, catastrophes. He's talking about characteristics of people. And he talks about young people, that they will be unthankful, they will be ungrateful, they will be lovers of self, not lovers of God. That the parents, you know, and so forth, ungrateful people. But that's talking about the apostate church. It's not talking about the world. It's talking about the church in the last days that's falling apart, denying the faith and so forth. That's not going to be us. Listen, so you have to say, well, what happened to the family? The reason I'm mentioning family, because it is Thanksgiving, isn't it? We're getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving together. You know, I was thinking something. And I don't know, maybe I'm laying it on too heavy this morning, but I started thinking about Thanksgiving and technology. Now, I don't know why I started thinking about that, but I thought to myself how today, in this generation especially, how technology has really helped the family, but it's also really hurt the family. Amen? I mean, it's wonderful that you can be at work and you can have a phone or computer, whatever it is, and if someone is breaking into your house, the cameras warn you, you can call the police. That's really wonderful, isn't it? Yeah. Or steal those packages off your porch. Or like the other night at Halloween, I had my cameras on. We just put some cameras in. I still don't know how to work it, but they're in. That is the truth. I can't even figure it out. And you know, those Halloween kids came to our door, those witches and those goblins, and there was all scared us to death. Camera was right there on, and the door was open, and we have glass over the, there's glass, okay? The door was open, there's glass. And I'm looking at all of those faces. They're all pressed against that glass. Some have got those long demonic fingernails, and man, I'm going to say come out in Jesus' name. I'm not going to give you candy. But this technology that we have is wonderful. I mean, but I've started thinking about how it's hurt us and helped us. Would you bear with me and just humor me for a minute? You know, dishwashers. You know, where I put stuff in this morning in the dishwasher, closed it, punched it. Hey, lock and load. When I get home, they're going to be clean. They're going to be sanitized. Man, dishwashers are great, but before dishwashers, what did we do? You in the sink. You know, okay, who's going to wash, who's going to dry? Do you remember those days? That's called family. And sometimes I want to wash. Sometimes, and we would do that, but there was a connection. Do you remember that? And that's what I'm talking about, technology. How about that trash compactor? I don't have a trash compactor. You know, I probably wish I did, but I don't. And maybe some of you have it. That's kind of a popular thing. I don't know if they still put them in homes or not. My home is an old home. But here's the deal. You know, when I was young, it was a family thing. Can you believe that? We lived in the country with my sister. And we had two 100-gallon barrels, metal barrels. One was for the cans and the glass. The other one was for the paper goods and the food or whatever. You know, we had a little screen that was on each of them. I mean, on the one that we were going to burn, we'd go out there and burn them, and they would just all burn up. Smoke would go into the sky. It's really a unique thing. And then when they were full, you had to do something with them. What did you do with those big steel barrels? Huh? You put them in the back of the truck. You took them over to the trash dump at Smithfield. Now, if you live at Smithfield, I'm not saying anything against it, but that's where we took it. But it was a family thing. You say, Bill, you're really weird this morning. No. Can I give you one more? Ice cream. You know, I can't eat ice cream now. Something happens when you get over 45. I don't know what happens. But you know how we made ice cream back then? It was a family thing. We would go, and Joanne, my sister, we had peach trees. She picked the peaches. We were going to have peach ice cream. I'd be outside. You know, remember how you would turn the thing? Put the salt in it and the ice in it would, and then we'd take turns doing that until the peach ice cream was ready. Y'all remember? We didn't go down to Blue Bell. We were our own Blue Bell, you know? And then what happened? We were on the porch, and then we only had a few neighbors, but they knew. And then before you know it, all the family was outside. The ice cream was ready, and all the people across the street, they came over too. There was a connection. Do you understand what I mean? That's really been lost today. And then now you have your cell phones, your iPhones, your iPads. We got all of this stuff. Yes, you can know where your children are. That's wonderful. If you can look on your iPhone and see if you're where your wife or your children, your whatever, and you know that they're okay, or they can tell you, this is where I'm at, come and get me out of whatever. And you especially monitor your kids. That's really nice. It's also very evil. Do you understand? See, that's great technology, but let me tell you something. Everything that the world creates, you have to manage. You have to manage it. because I promise you the devil's right in the midst of all of it. And he'll do anything, even if it looks like it's helpful, and it is helpful, but he does it to destroy, to divide, to keep everyone apart. That's exactly what's happening. Listen, we live in a world right now, a culture. Our teens live in a culture that is an unthankful culture. We live in a culture, all of us, our teens, our young ones, all of us, in a culture, loved one, that is so full yet so unsatisfied. Why? Because our culture on this Thanksgiving, like it has been doing the last many years, it keeps us isolated from one another. You know, you're so busy keeping up with social media or your Instagram or whatever. One teen said to me, he said, our online lives, they're more important than our real lives. Think about that. What happened if someone would take your iPhone? She said, oh, we would then have no life. You see what I'm getting at? Now, with all that being said, I need just a few more minutes, and I want you to do something. I want you to turn in your Bible to Luke 17:11, and I want you to look at, you know the story, I know the story, but I want us to see something this morning about what we used to be, and we're not anymore. Luke 17:11, and now it happened as Jesus went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood far off or afar off. Now it says it happened. That means it was a divine encounter. Here are 10 people full of the worst disease known to man at that time. And they're going to meet the only person that can cure them of that disease. But what we're not told about these 10 men is the horrible condition that they were in. Leprosy of that time, you know the condition. I've preached through about the lepers before. Their faces, you know, the deep furrows in their brow, the whiteness of their skin, their face looked like a lion, if you will. Their ears were all blown up. The parts of their body had completely rotted off. It was terrible. Toes and fingers, and some of their hands were like stubs, and the smell of the rotting flesh from that leprosy was unbelievable, the stench. And here they are, they're meeting the Lord, and their voices of a leper is a very raspy, a very hoarse type voice, if you will. And there they are. You know, leprosy is in Jesus' day was so bad, so horrible. And one of the things is made it so horrible is because leprosy was painless. They felt no pain in that horrible condition. And so, I mean, they could accidentally step on something and cut open their feet or their hand and be bleeding. They didn't feel anything at all. So that was the condition that they were in. Now, they weren't always lepers. We don't know how they were always lepers. We don't know what happened to them. If they woke up one morning, they saw a spot or something, and if they did, they had to do something. They had to go show themselves to the priest. The Bible tells us in Leviticus 13:45 about the law of the leper. It says, the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, his head will be bare, and he'll cover his mustache, and he will cry, unclean, unclean, and he shall be unclean. All the days that he is sore, he'll be unclean. He's unclean. It goes over and over. He shall dwell alone in his dwelling outside of the camp. Why? He's contagious. Now, that's the law of leprosy. That's not the cure for leprosy. That was what God set up. But for anyone in Jesus' day to hear that word, unclean, from a priest, it meant exile. They could not come near anyone. They immediately, when the priest said, you are unclean, you are a leper, they could never go to synagogue again. They could never go back to their family again. They had to go out away from everyone, and they had to wear a bell, and they had to yell. Anytime anyone was approaching them, they had to say, unclean, unclean, don't you come near me. I'm a leper. Like I said, they wore that bell around their neck to warn people. But here's the deal. They weren't in that condition just for a season. This condition was forever. And it says, look in verse 13, they lifted up their voices. That literally means they shouted, if you will, loud voices. They lifted up their voices and said, oh, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, and here's a command, he just said, go. He says, show yourself to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, all 10 were cleansed. Jesus said, have mercy. You know, you can have mercy on someone, but all the mercy in the world won't cure you. Did you know that? It takes God to cure you of these horrible things. So they just simply go, the obedient faith. And it says, and then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and there it is again, that shout with a loud voice glorified God or gave praise and thanks unto God. Can you imagine being that person? No, listen, look at him, his condition. All of a sudden, the fingers are back. His skin is smooth. His face is no longer like a lion. His voice is no longer hoarse. He doesn't stink. The rotten flesh doesn't stink anymore. Why am I thankful? Because that's what God has done to me. That's what Jesus Christ has done for me. He has cleansed me of all of my leprosy. He has taken our sin. Amen. We were all dead men walking just like that leper. We were full of dead in trespasses and sins, spiritually dead. And leprosy, you know what leprosy does? I can't come near you. Leprosy separates us from God. Because leprosy is a type of sin in the Bible. Stay away. You're unclean. You can't approach God. You can't even go to synagogue. God says, oh, no. You bet. You just go. You do what the priest said. Obedience. They obeyed. They were all cleansed. I could not cleanse myself of my sin. But I know one who did cleanse me of all my sin. Amen. How can we, spiritual lepers, dead men walking, unclean in the eyes of Almighty God, separated from God, loved one, how can we not be thankful for all that God has done? He said, oh, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, look what he did. Just one of them returned with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet. And what are those next three words? Giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said, well, where are not the 10? They were cleansed. Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found, listen to Jesus, who returned to give glory to God? That means who give. Was there not anyone of them to come back and give thanks unto God for what he had done? And he said to that one person, the one leper who's no longer a leper, he says, you go your way. Arise, go your way. Because he was still on his face before the Lord. Your faith has made you whole. Isn't it amazing to you? Does it bother you? Or did you see that? That Jesus recognizes when we give thanks. He says, those other guys, they didn't do it. I don't want to be like those other guys. Do you? No, just one person came back and gave God what was due him, and so forth. Now listen, God is good. God is merciful. They were all healed, but only one returned. And they stay healed as well. But what I want you to notice about on this Thanksgiving is this, that the word attributed, every word now attributed to the leper in our text, every word, it was always in a loud voice. We get our word from those Greek words, the word megaphone, okay? Megaphone. It says here that in these verse 13 and 15, he shouted his prayer. The leper did. He shouted his praise. And may I say that former lepers, and that's what we were. Former lepers are good at shouting thanks to God. We just read it. The command. Psalm 101. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Have you lost your megaphone? Did you trade it in on an iPhone? Why don't you get your megaphone back and praise the Lord? Did you know the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything, not for everything, but in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. I'm assuming then by the word of God that giving thanks to God is very vital and very important. The psalmist has written again, I read it earlier, oh, that men would give thanks unto God for his goodness. God is good to us. He's so good to you. He's so good to me. Your very hair of your head, loved one, listen to me. They're all numbered. They're all counted. You know, heaven is our home. We're co-heirs with Christ Jesus. He's inscribed us on the palm of his hand. Oh, I think about all the great things that he has done. Every tear he's collected for us. Listen, God loves us. God is good. And man, does he deserve our thanks. From my heart to your heart, I pray in Jesus' name that you have a Christ-centered thanksgiving and that you praise him when you sit at that table or you sit at that restaurant or you sit all by yourself at Luby's, whatever it might be. Thank God. Amen. Thank God that he is good to you and to me. Father, we praise you in Jesus' name. We give you thanks for this Thanksgiving. We give you thanks for the candy cane outreach. And I give thanks, Lord, for all the great, wonderful servants at Calvary Chapel. Lord, bless them this morning. Bring joy to their hearts. Oh, God, comfort those who have lost loved ones. And this may be their first time, a holiday time to be alone, a time when all the family should be together. Bring comfort to all of them. Lord, we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen.